O'Reilly, I think if you're watching this national championship game, dog fans should be wondering, do we or will we have a guy like Jeremiah Smith on this roster moving forward? I think that's the question that everybody wants to know. Can we have a guy like that in the next few years for Georgia?
Jeremiah Smith specifically, I don't know. That he's already this good, there's no way to describe it. Other than maybe Travis Hunter, Nash and Genty, I don't know that there was a better player in college football this year than Jeremiah Smith, and he did it as a 19-year-old freshman. And so, Georgia again, but I think what they can try and follow and what they can try and replicate is the overwhelming amount of talent that Ohio State had. They were just a more talented team across the board, and you saw that show up where, yes, Smith has the early touchdown and he has the big play late, but because Ohio State was able to play so well in that second and third quarter, they're able to overcome, I think, the coaching deficit that they were working at. And that's not a slight at Ryan Day. I think Marcus Freeman is a very good game coach. And so I think that that's why just accumulating talent is what matters. Georgia has to do a better job of that. I say, the guy that they have to try and find and replicate is a Jack Sawyer type. Obviously a very talented player, guys who play in the NFL, but sticks around the program, helps elevate the culture, brings the best out of everyone, and when a season can kind of go sideways and fray out a little bit, pulls everyone back in together. And, as we sit here today, I don't know who that player is on this team for Georgia in 2025, right, but they've got some time to figure that out.
Look, we're not trying to say the sky is falling, Connor, but it's so strange, and Carl brought this up earlier. Regular season, it just becomes like the NFL. I mean, the greatest rivalry, with maybe the exception of the Iron Bowl, is Michigan-Ohio State. And they lost to their arch rival and looked flat in that loss. Didn't hurt them a bit. Didn't even win the Big Ten this year. That was won by Oregon in their first year. I guess the point I'm getting to is, should Georgia fans maybe just not get all hung up on winning the SEC and just getting hot at the right time?
I certainly think as we move forward, yes, I think that's the way that you have to look at it. And in the past, Kirby Smart has wanted his team to play their best football in the month of November so they can carry that into December. And I think that's not going to be an issue for Georgia moving forward. But I just think with the way that this year went for Georgia, with the breaks that went against them, self-inflicted and not, this year celebrating the SEC is something that's worth doing. But then again, you look at, even what the Washington Commanders have done of late. You just got to get in and hope that you're able to ride your talent, ride a star player or two. Ohio State did that during the playoff run. Washington is doing it now on the NFL level. And you've got a chance to win a national championship. The days of having an overwhelming talent edge and putting together these super teams, like I think we've sort of seen of late here in college football, I think those days are kind of done. And it's no longer about winning with the best 85-man roster, but it's going to look closer to the NFL level where, can we have 45 guys on our roster that can make a difference and help this team out? And Georgia's got to be able to figure out a way to do that. I think they're closer than a lot of teams are, but there are still some little things that they've got to figure out how to do.
All right, so, Ohio State wins with Will Howard as their quarterback. And it just makes me wonder about Gunnar Stockton as we talk about the Dogs and the connection here as to what we saw last night. Now, Howard was 17 for 21, 231, no turnovers, rushed for 51 yards. And Connor, when you look at this, you go, all right, he wasn't a guy that was just super dynamic throughout the year, but Ohio State was so good around him that they were able to win a national championship. Is that how I should be looking at Gunnar Stockton?
Yes, and Georgia knows this. And this was a big takeaway that they had coming out of that loss to Notre Dame. Because I thought, all things considered, a guy making his first career start against a Notre Dame team that played for a national title that we know now, Gunnar Stockton played well, and yes, he made some mistakes. He's got to play faster. He's got to do a better job of managing the game. He admitted that afterwards, and that's something that I think largely comes with game reps, and so that's where making your first career start in a stage like that can be tough. They got to have better weapons around him, and one of the most striking things, because I'm sort of watching the national championship game a bit through a Georgia lens last night, how much easier things were for Ohio State when they're able to run the ball, and yes, Judkins rips off the big run to start the third quarter there, but just having that running game. They ran for 220 yards last night. Georgia, against that same Notre Dame front, couldn't do a lick And so they've got to find ways to help Gunnar Stockton. They need more out of the wide receiver room and tight end room. They know that. I think the course of this season showed that. They've shored some of that up in the transfer portal. They really like some of the freshmen that they're bringing in. And those guys are going to have to contribute earlier. You know, the days of guys waiting 2-3 years to really emerge as playmakers, I think that's kind of done. And you're going to have to be able to get more out of your guys early, get them prepared to play early, and at the same point in time, feel comfortable playing them early so that they can go out there and make plays when necessary.
It is our man Connor Riley, guys, here on Dog Nation on the waitfor.com hotline, kind of looking at the big picture in college football. Georgia's schedule has been brutal. We know that. It's a little bit you know, easier, and since some of the big dogs are coming to Sanford Stadium next year. But, I mean, I guess what we learned from how Ohio State, if not to be prisoners of the moment, really no point in going out of your way to schedule tough out-of-conference, is there?
No, and I think those days are done. This is more a me thing than a college football-wide thing. I want to see more standardized scheduling. And I know that's difficult to do just with how fractured the sport is at the moment, but I think that we should have every Power Four conference playing the same number of conference games. I think that everyone should play one marquee or one Power Four team out of conference, and Georgia qualifies that with Georgia Tech. And I think especially as Georgia Tech looks to be a more competent opponent moving forward under Brent Key, you don't really need to go out there and try and add a Clemson. I know they've got a future game against Louisville, Florida State. Ohio State is on the schedule right now. We'll see if that game ends up getting played with the way that schedules play out moving forward. And you look at Ohio State, and you look at the Big Ten as a whole, because of the way that league's set up, you know, they're only playing one, maybe two games that are of great consequence, especially for the elite teams they can lose. The SEC, because of how many teams believe they can and should compete for a title every year, is just not going to be that kind of way. And so you're going to have teams that have 4 or 5 losses in some years. When you put them in an ACC or a Big Ten, they're going to be a 10-2 team. I think you saw that with Indiana this year. And so I think moving forward, college football, the SEC in particular, they've got to figure out a way to, I think, standardize the schedule a little bit. You look at the schedule Texas had to play this year in comparison to what Georgia got. And the SEC does sort of some of this, you know, to grease their TV product because that's where so much of their money comes in from. But at the same point in time, you're putting teams like an Alabama, like a Georgia, theoretically your best teams and your biggest draw, at a disadvantage, whereas I believe that the Big Ten did a better job protecting its bigger brands and making them a capable team of winning a national title like we saw last night.
All right. I know it's way too early because we don't know what the portal changes are going to bring and spring and injuries, et cetera. But right now, Texas and Georgia should be the top two teams heading into next season. And the irony is Texas comes to Athens next year. You get Quinn Ewers gone. You get Arch Manning. They get the, you know, freshman of the year back. In Colin Simmons, they get Anthony Hill, their star linebacker, their running back who was hurt, C.J. Braxton. Like, all of a sudden now, you're looking at Texas and they're going, okay, they're going to be back and probably better than they were this year. And then there's Georgia. Then there's Ohio State, Penn State, obviously Miami, Notre Dame. But, Connor, here we are talking about, you know, it's way too early, but Texas and Georgia are going to lead the way in these rankings, I think, to start the season.
Yeah, and there are a lot. There's that, you know, I think still Georgia and Texas occupy that top tier in the league. And look, some of the Texas hype, yes, it's because Arch Manning is the quarterback, and that's the way that this is going to be. They have to replace 4 starters in the offensive line. I thought the offensive line was one of, if not their best units this year. Obviously, the Georgia game's notwithstanding. They got to replace their, I believe, the top 3 wide receivers, but they recruit very well at that position. And so, you know, Texas and Georgia, yes, they even still have their questions, but they're, I think, the top two. Who joins them in that sort of playoff tier? Because I think more often than not, unless there's wonkiness, the SEC is probably going to have about 4 playoff teams every year. Who are those teams? Is it South Carolina and they make another step forward? Is it LSU, who's been as aggressive as anyone in the transfer portal? Is it Alabama in year 2 under Kalen DeBoer? Who is sort of that next tier team? Tennessee. Are they able to stabilize a little bit after a slow end to the season?
Connor, what about Florida? What about Florida?
They're a team, and I think the fact that they're, the 6th or 7th team that I've mentioned here, DJ Lagway, maybe the most hyped quarterback in the country next year, speaks to the depth of this league and why, you know, I don't agree with a lot of the national media people that are saying the SEC's dead, you know, they're no longer the top conference. Right. They didn't have a team playing last night. I still believe 1-16, the SEC is the best league in the country. I just think now that works against them a lot more because it is so much more competitive. And as those teams at the top aren't as talented as they were in the past because of NIL and transfer portal, it's sort of dragging everything towards the middle. And it's going to be fascinating to see who sort of wins that fight and comes out of that middle pack.
And that's the thing, Connor, as we said earlier, I don't want to make it sound like sour grapes. Ohio State made $20 million in NIL. They got their guys to stay. Michigan got their guys to stay. Georgia just didn't field the kind of team that Kirby had when they won the Natties. It's not that complicated. I mean, had Georgia had those kind of players, they beat Notre Dame. They beat Notre Dame going away. It wasn't the team. So there's always pivots. You know, Kirby's mentor, Nick Saban, found a way to pivot, and I just think Kirby needs to pivot. The nonsense about Mike Bobo, we covered that on Friday. Any other real changes to the Georgia staff?
I think we may see one here in the month of February. There's always probably going to be some coaching turnover, especially in the NFL ranks, and we've seen in years past more and more coaches are making that jump to the NFL. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see one from Georgia, but I don't believe it's going to be Mike Bobo. He's still out on the road recruiting, still very involved in this Georgia program. And so, you know, I know there are a lot of people that were maybe hopeful that Mike Bobo was going to be stepping down. That's not the case. And for those that want to see that change, look, 2024 is a make it or break it year for Mike Bobo. Gunnar Stockton is a guy he's had a long history with. And if the offense doesn't bounce back and it doesn't look like what it did and under Bobo in 2023 or under Todd Monken in 2022, it becomes, I think, very easy for Kirby Smart to have to move on there. And so, you know, look, I understand wanting to change. And some of that is sake of change for change. So that is because of just the history with Mike Bobo there. But I think going forward into 2024, I think the pieces are there. They've obviously got to figure out the offensive line. This is a massive year for Mike Bobo, and you know, I think because of how good that offense was in 2023, he has earned the right to have 2025, especially because they did win an SEC championship, winning that game with a backup quarterback there that they had to get ready in a short notice. I think that going into 2025, they've got to get better on the offensive side of the ball. They've got to do a better job of running the football, and a lot of that is going to fall on the offensive coordinator, Mike Bobo.